Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on a very spooky Friday the 13th of February. We've got plenty to get through in today's episode, including details of KCC's budget for the next financial year, a crackdown on underage vaping in Maidstone, and we'll look ahead to the weekend's Jules fixtures. But first, let's take a look at our top story today. And this is a story we have been following since it first happened nearly 18 months ago. A man who tried to kill a soldier near a barracks in Gillingham has been handed a life sentence. Anthony Eason stabbed Lieutenant Colonel Mark Teaton in Sallyport Gardens in Brompton in July 2024. The 25-year-old from Mooring Road in Rochester has schizophrenia and admitted attempted murder. Eason was given a Section 45 hospital order and will be detained at High Security Psychiatric Hospital Broadmoor with a minimum term of 7 years and 160 days. He will return to prison if he is ever well enough to do so. Lieutenant Colonel Teaton spoke outside court after the sentencing.
As a family, we're immensely indebted to those members of the public, emergency services, air ambulance and NHS who saved my life. During our recovery as a family, the public messages of support and that of the Army, wider defence and various charities were invaluable to us. Thank you. We are so grateful to Detective Inspector Lee Neils and his incredible team from Kent Police for the hours obtaining and reviewing all the evidence, along with the support they have provided over the last 18 months. We're highly appreciative of the Crown Prosecution Service and our amazing barrister, Alison Morgan, KC, for representing our case so eloquently. And we want to thank the Honourable Mr. Justice Pickham for taking the time in reaching his decision. We welcome the sentence that has been handed to my attacker today, as it reflects the incredible bank of evidence gathered by the police and presented by our barrister of the premeditation and planning involved in the attack against myself, an officer wearing British military uniform. Knife attacks do not just impact the victim, they impact the families and communities where attacks occur. We feel the pain caused by every knife attack that we see on the news, and our thoughts will always be with those affected. We are immensely proud of our daughters for their strength and resilience, and thankful for the amazing friends and family who have provided immense support over the last 18 months.
Let's hear now from DI Lee Neils.
Today, Anthony Eason has been sentenced to life imprisonment with hospital direction after pleading guilty to the attempted murder of Lieutenant Colonel Mark Teaton in Gillingham. Eason is an extremely dangerous man, violent and unprovoked attack so nearly caused Mark's death. He was intent on killing Mark and did not care what effect it would have on his family, his friends and everyone who witnessed this deeply distressing incident. Eason has provided no explanation or motive for his actions, but the evidence shows that he was intent on killing a uniformed soldier. What is certain is that he poses too great a risk to innocent members of the public, and I am therefore satisfied that following today's sentencing, he will be in custody for many years to come. Mark underwent a terrible ordeal, but has displayed tremendous dignity throughout this investigation and court case. I would like to pay tribute to Mark for his bravery throughout, as well as his wife Eileen, who rushed out of their house to push Eason away from a uniformed soldier under attack before she even realised it was her husband. This was a harrowing incident for all, and my thanks go to everyone who assisted with the Kent Police investigation and to the emergency responders who were very quick to reach Mark and help to save his life.
Kent Online News.
A handyman who stabbed a customer in Dartford following a dispute over money has been found guilty of murder. A court's been told Doran Chorba owed more than £5,000 and was being taken to small claims court when the attack happened at a flat in Dunlop Close last July. The 29-year-old from Barking in East London is due to be sentenced next month. Jurors have been told a passenger in a truck that was allegedly used as a weapon to murder a 4-year-old boy in Kent will not be giving evidence. Peter Morn was killed when the vehicle he was in overturned in a collision on Newbarn Road in Southfleet in June last year. 54-year-old Patrick Mourne, who was in a Ford Ranger, is on trial with his son Owen, who's 27. The pair from Hill Rise in Darrenth deny murder. The jury is due to retire next week. A man's been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder after another man was found with serious head injuries on Sheppey. Police were called to reports of an assault at a property on Sheerness High Street on Wednesday night. The victim said to be in a serious but stable condition in hospital, while a 31-year-old who was arrested in London is being questioned. Bosses in Ashford have issued their first penalty notice following an investigation into allegations of dog breeding and selling animals without a licence. A Pluckley resident was fined £1,250 after they were found to have advertised animals for sale online over 3 years. If they fail to pay, they could face 6 months in prison. Elsewhere, a family pet has had to be put down after being seriously injured by a dog in Medway. 8-year-old Shih Tzu poodle mix Oria was attacked by a bull terrier which was off its lead in Lordswood. The owner was also knocked to the floor while a bus driver managed to restrain the animal. Police are investigating. Almost three quarters of people living in Maidstone think violence against women and girls is a very big problem. That's the main finding of a survey commissioned by the council to find out the scale of concern across the borough. Hundreds of residents also reported being a victim of physical or sexual assault. Bosses say the results are deeply troubling and they'll work towards long-term change. There have been tributes paid to an Ashford hairdresser who's died following a cancer battle. Mary Oakley ran Irene's on Bank Street after inheriting the salon from her mum. The 71-year-old had completed treatment but caught a chest infection and passed away from pneumonia.
Kent Online News.
Kent County Council have officially set their budget for the next year, but there's a warning it could lead to risks. Council tax will be going up by just under 4%, which is 1% lower than bosses were able to raise it by. Opposition parties say the lower revenue could lead to more service cuts. KCC leader Lyndon Kemp-Karen seemed confident during the debate.
It is a plan that secures stability now, prepares us for the future, and ensures that we remain focused on what matters most, delivering for Kent.
Anthony Hook is the Lib Dem opposition leader at KCC.
If you've got more than 400 million at risk, but only 80 million in reserve, that's a perilous situation to be in. The budget already has got lots of cuts to services, and I'm very worried that if these risks materialise, it will be quite devastating, and KCC will have to make big cuts to services or even sell off lots of assets.
He's not the only one who's concerned. Councillor Connie Nolan is co-leader of the Labour Group.
I'm saying the prayers that we don't get another pandemic like COVID, or we don't get another problem that comes along that nobody can foresee. It's the things that people don't know about that those reserves are there to cushion us against.
Kent Police could be facing a £20 million bill to settle a case over one of their buildings out of court. A legal process has been ongoing after the Crime Commissioner cancelled the contract for a company to look after their North Kent Police Station in Northfleet. The site had allegedly experienced a number of issues since opening in 2008. It's understood parties involved came to an agreement in December. Staff who provide education support in Kent have voted to go on strike following a row with Kent County Council. The Specialist Teaching and Learning Service say they weren't consulted about changes made to working conditions in the last 6 months. Union members will be walking out in September. There's backlash over new parking charges brought in at a refurbed car park near Dartford. The rundown lot on Walnut Tree Avenue in Wilmington has undergone a dramatic transformation after more than £300,000 of investment. It used to be free, but operators Microspace are now charging £1.50 an hour to help with ongoing maintenance. Residents have described the fees as a joke. Money raised to repair a bridge in Faversham has been returned to people who donated it after a battle to get it working again reached an impasse. The swing bridge over the creek hasn't worked since the early 1990s, cutting off boat access to the basin. An argument over who should foot the bill has been going on for years and no solution has been reached.
Kent Online News.
An iconic clifftop mansion in Kent has gone on the market. The six-bed Abbott's Cliff House in Capel of Ferne has been transformed by the current owners over the past 20 years. It's a well-known landmark in the town and is on sale for £1.7 million. A Nepalese restaurant in Maidstone has been given a poor hygiene score after inspectors found thick mould on strawberries and rusty equipment. Yeti on Union Street was visited by Council's environmental health team in October. It's been given a one star out of a possible five star rating. We've asked bosses for a comment. Now, residents are being asked to leave their cars outside of a Kent village tomorrow night because of major work at a level crossing. There'll be no road access to the Isle of of grain for the whole of Sunday. Paul Prentice from Network Rail says the whole track and road need replacing. He's been chatting to Lucy.
What we're doing actually is we're putting in a lot of different measures to ensure that people, for example, who have care needs, who maybe need a carer to visit them, they will be able to get through a special route that we've arranged. That actually manages to bypass the level crossing. But for most people, they won't be able to go across the crossing on Sunday. We recognise it's inconvenient for people and we're sorry for that. But this work on the level crossing does need to be done. It's a freight line that goes into Isle of Grain. That line is needed and is used quite frequently by freight trains. And so we have to do the work on the level crossing for the safety of not only car drivers driving across it, but also for the freight trains that travel across it every day.
What exactly is the work? Is it a bit technical to go into, or can you explain for our listeners what is actually being done there?
So the work we're doing is actually replacing the level crossing itself. These things do need to be replaced from time to time. The rails themselves need replacing. And obviously we want to ensure that people have safe journeys, not only car drivers and motorists going across the crossing, but also the trains themselves. It's actually the track and the road that needs replacing on that crossing. So hopefully people will understand it's really vital work that we need to do there. It's not work that we can put off. It's work that needs to be done now.
And I know some residents were concerned about the village being cut off. I know you mentioned that there'll be, special routes for people with care needs. And I know for emergency vehicles, they'll be able to use another route as well. But what about for just normal residents? Are they going to be sort of stuck for that period?
So we've worked really closely with Arriva Buses, for example, and with Medway Council and other agencies. We've put in a minibus shuttle within the village that will take people to the level crossing. And they'll be escorted over the crossing and they'll be able to take up buses on the other side, or there is a parking area on the other side of the crossing where for just one day, people will be asked to leave their car. And actually the people who are affected by this have been written to already. They have been informed of what's going on. And while we appreciate it's an inconvenience for one day, we hope people will bear with us and understand that this work really does need to be done. People can still get across the crossing, but they won't be able to drive across it normally just for that one day. We've actually listened already and we've actually changed the time of the closure so that it's slightly later at midnight on Saturday into Sunday rather than earlier on the Saturday night, because obviously we're very aware that people may well have plans on Saturday, the 14th of February, it being Valentine's Day. So we've kept the crossing closure until a bit later in the evening so that people have time to get back to wherever they've been.
Shuttle buses will be running to allow people in and out of the village. The road will be back open on Monday morning.
Kent Online News.
An initiative is launching in Maidstone later aimed at tackling underage vape sales. It marks the next phase of local vape action, which has already seen success in Tunbridge Wells and Ashford. It's a partnership between Trading Standards, Kent Police and local councils to strengthen retail compliance and protect young people. I've been speaking to Jim Widette, who's from Trading Standards.
The fact that we're now saying that we roughly at 90% compliance in Tunbridge Wells shows that the majority of businesses do want to do the right thing. And that's great for us because that gives a strong local feeling. And we know from surveys that LVA have done that 80%+ of people's surveys thought LVA was good. So we've got public saying it's good. When the traders are doing the right thing as well, that means that we can spend more of our time working with those people who either don't know how to become compliant or don't want to be compliant.
And can you tell me about the rollout in Maidstone? So we've had success in Tunbridge Wells, success in Ashford, and now I suppose Maidstone is the next place on the list.
So today, yeah, we're going live in Maidstone, and this is really, really good. So we've got, again, really good community buy-in. We've got the local authority joining with us as one of the partners, and that's always critical in this. And today, officers are going to be out and about distributing these packs. We're going to start that process with retailers. Obviously, there's quite a lot of retailers who supply vapes, so we'll get around to all of them in due course. And part of the survey that LVA have done, there have been some suggestions from the public about things they'd like to see being done. So as a partnership, we can come together and see if we listen to what the community is saying, is there a way that we can incorporate that into the programme? So it's going to make Maidstone a little bit different to Tunbridge Wells and Ashford, but that's how it should be. We should be able to listen to the local public, and do the best thing that we can do for them and their retailers.
From the public's point of view, obviously, you mentioned that officers are going to be out with retailers distributing the packs. Are there going to be any other, I suppose, things that the members of the public can notice differently? Signs in windows or certificates maybe on display that a shop is compliant. Are there going to be any other signs or signals that this rollout's been happening?
That's a really good question, because there are a couple of points that the public have actually put forward saying they'd like to see that. So that would be a change to what we've done previously in LVAs, and that's something that, the partners have got to come together and go, is that something that's going to work? How's it going to promote the LVA and support retailers? So this whole LVA process is about ensuring that retailers are part of the solution. So if there is something visible on a shop doorway, are retailers going to support it? Because if they're not, it's not going to work. So that's what I mean. It's not us saying this is what we must do. It's that collaboration between partners, enforcers, and retail at the same time, trying to do the right thing so that consumers can see at a glance, that's a good shop. They're selling legal vapes and they're not going to sell to kids. That would be brilliant.
How do you go about deciding where to roll out the local vape action?
Normally from partnership engagement. So obviously where we've had the uptake from Tunbridge Wells, other local authorities have then seen what we've done, have heard the benefits it brings to the local area. And if they come to us and we can then form a partnership, then that's something we would do. So there's always got to be that whole point of the local area has got to want to get involved. Because if you haven't got that local buy-in, it's just not going to work. So we look to that. There are other areas across the county that would want this. We've got limited resources from a trading standards perspective, but the LVA is very keen, I know, to try and roll it out as far and wide as they can.
Anyone with concerns about underage sales are urged to contact council. There are plans to create a new protected swimming area in the sea near Folkestone. Granville Parade Beach in Sandgate is one of 13 places in the country to be given a special status by the government. A consultation's underway, which could lead to more water quality testing, protecting the area against pollution. Groups and small businesses in Ramsgate are being given the chance to bid for cash after the town was awarded Pride in Place funding. They'll be given between £500 and £2,000 to come up with creative ideas to help tell the story of the area. Ideas could range from artwork to digital campaigns. Applications need to be in by February 23rd. The Pet Blood Bank are calling for more people to bring their dogs forward to make a donation. Just like the human service, every unit of blood given can go on to save the lives of up to four other dogs. They're setting up a donation session at Newnham Court Vets in Maidstone next month.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a trip to Crewe Alexandra for Gillingham this weekend. The visitors are currently 14th in League Two after three wins from their past five games. The home side are four places above them, with both teams pushing for the playoffs. Here's Gills midfielder Ethan Coleman.
They're a possession-based team. It's a big pitch, and yeah, it's always tough going up there, but we're looking forward to the challenge as a squad and ready to go up there and try and get the win.
Away from home, we've not played too badly. Obviously, we beat Harrogate, yeah. Maybe should have got something at Notts County.
Yeah.
But your performances on the road haven't been too bad.
No, I agree. And Swindon as well, you can include in that. I think even though we did lose 2-0 there, I thought we actually played better than them. And we got the chances as well, but we just didn't take them on the day. But yeah, no, I think we've done well on the road, like you said. And we just need to turn them good performances into wins as well.
It's a real opportunity for us, because if we can go there and get all 3 points, it just closes that gap to the top seven, and to beat one of those teams that are also chasing it would be a real statement victory.
No, yeah, definitely. I think you've got to take everything by the scruff of the neck now and really push and go for it. Obviously, game by game, but yeah, take it and really go for it. We wanna close that gap to the playoffs and yeah, see what we can do from there.
How important was that win against Tranmere?
Yeah, massive. I think we've had a good run of form recently. Like I said, in the last five games, three wins, two losses. I think that's playoff form. I obviously don't want to lose, but we've done well and we just need to continue that.
Just finally, we're entering the final third of the season. This is the business end. This is where the points really do matter.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think across the season, we've had a good start again, and then sort of midway through, we've had that disappointing run, but I think we're back on track now and hit a bit of form. Looking forward to the game of the weekend and hope to get a win.
And we can also hear now from manager Gareth Ainsworth.
Both teams probably similar ambitions. You know, we're both looking to see how far we can progress, and we've got the playoffs just above us. You know, we're slightly further away than Crewe, but I think they've played a couple more games than us, or one more at least. So we've got to make sure that we go up there with the belief that we can win the game, because we want to get close as we can to these playoffs. You know, I think it's definitely a different season to last year. You know, we're getting towards, I think, the total when I walked in with 9 games to go, you know, and we've done that in plenty of time, but it's just how much more we can do now. And I think that we've got a tough couple of games coming up. You know, Crewe and Chesterfield away from home. They're same ambitions as us. They want to get in the playoffs. They want to try and progress out of League Two. And they're a very good side with an identity that, you know, that is well played by their manager. And yeah, we've got to make sure that we believe we can win and take something away from there, because, you know, it was a fantastic result last Saturday. We hang on at the end. The previous games to that, you know, we were trying to put to bed those results. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Results against both of these teams could be very, very good for us. We don't want to fall away from the playoffs any further than we are now. And if you're playing two teams that are in the range, you stop them getting points as well. It's two very important games.
Long way to go. Yeah, I said to the boys this morning, and I'll say to everyone who's watching and listening, we're not going to win every game, right? I've said this all along. There will be hiccups, there will be defeats, and it's how we react to them. You know, we go into every game believing we can beat the team in front of us. I watched Swindon last night on the TV, and I believe that we can beat them. They're in second place, you know. And I think we proved it when we went over there, you know. So, I'm really excited for the next games, but I'm also keeping myself grounded, making sure we don't get carried away. You know, we're still a building progress, and there will be hiccups. It's undoubted, but it's how you react to them. It's the mental side now. We're coming into the business end of the season, and it's exciting times. But Crewe away, first game on the cards. I think they're getting some snow tomorrow up there, so and it's going to be very cold on the day. But that's the north for you. You know, I'm used to that.
And briefly, at the Winter Olympics, Ked's Matt Weston is in gold medal position, going into the final two runs of the men's skeleton tonight. The 28-year-old from Tunbridge Wells broke the track record on his opening run yesterday and leads by 0.3 seconds. That's all from us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.